Hallelujah. After I listened to the testimony of a young woman that called me from Canada earlier in the day, a Sudanese, and told me her testimony. It moved me so much that when, after listening to her, when we finished the phone talk, I didn't know where. I just realized I was on my knees asking God to have mercy on me. Because every day we understand the mercy of God more and more. That God can reach down and visit such a person with the kind of lifestyle she lived. Praise the Lord. So this song came to my mind. It's our hymn, in our hymn is 133. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior above gave me peace, joy and love when he reached down his hand for me. When he reached down his hand for me. When he reached down his hand for me. I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me. I was near in despair when he came to me there, and he showed me that I could be free. Then he lifted my feet, gave me glory complete when he reached down his hand for me. Down his hand for me, oh, when he reached down his hand for me, oh yes, I was lost and undone without God. God rejoice, since I made him my choice, from the tempest to him now I flee. Oh yes, now I live on his hand, I'm secure from all harm, since he reached down his hand for me. I take the next stanza. Since the Lord gave me peace, heavenly joy never cease. Lord, I give all my life unto thee. Guide my feet, hold my hand, that with thee I may stand. For he reached down his hands for me. Of a believer. Hallelujah. The testimony of a believer. Praise the Lord. If you will never appreciate salvation until you look back to to where you were and where you will have ended up. Many of us have hope now that never had hope before. Praise God. Appreciate God every day. Always remember, I tell everybody, nobody is going to heaven because he was a worker in a church. Amen. Nobody is going to heaven because he was a Jew. Many Jews will not go there. Many will not go there. Praise God. Amen. You will go to heaven because you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. How many have him tonight? How many? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. So if you have any question, our online members, can we greet them? Can we greet our online members? Greet them all over the world. What do we say? Shalom, shalom, shalom to the whole world, their pride worldwide. God bless you. Yes, if you have any question, you fire the one I cannot answer, I return you to sender. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20. I read it in the name of Jesus. Everybody, we should read that together. Shall we go? Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Can we read it again, everybody? Despise not prophesying. Okay, only verse 19. Everybody, let's go. Quench. Now, it's a commandment. Turn to your neighbor and say, quench not the spirit. Touch five people around you. Warn them. Quench not the spirit. Warn them very well. Praise God. Praise the Lord. There are several ways the spirit can be quenched. At least from that statement, you know the spirit can be quenched. Quench not the spirit, it means don't stop the revival. I shared this on Sunday as a closing remark from the program. I want to repeat it for emphasis. You have received the Holy Ghost. You are receiving a revival. There's a revival that is going on now. There's a revival that is going on now. And this revival is worldwide. Now, when you say quench not the spirit, I say it is with reference to the revival that is going on now. And you may not understand what is going on because some of you just moved from your denominational churches, Pentecostal churches, and you already used to the move of the spirit there. And you came into the entire message through this church and you just seem to continue with the move of the Spirit. But generally, the followers of the ministry of William Branham, who God used to bring forth this entire message, the entire message says, come out of the denominational error and come back to Bible Christianity. Come back to the apostolic faith. And that is supposed to be the message. But a group of people received it. Hallelujah. A group of people received this message. And somehow they did not handle it well. And it looks as if there is no such message existing. But for all these years, since the 70s, this message came into this country shortly after the death of William Branham. It has gone under. But God is reviving it again. Hallelujah. And we have evidence to show. You are the evidence. Amen. People are receiving the Holy Ghost and the gifts are manifesting. The revival is going on. Quench not the spirit. Shortly after, we will show you how the spirit can be quenched. Under the sermon, I titled The Enemies of Revival. The spirit can be quenched. Do everything to keep the fire going. Do everything to keep the fire burning. Amen. Satan will come after you, but let him not succeed. I am the evidence that it cannot succeed. Praise God. So let me take some questions. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My question is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse. Chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, down to 10. When he said to Jeremiah, I know you
talk to the microphone.
I know you before you were born. I know who you are before I put you in your mother's womb. Then I am sending you to the world, and I'm giving you the word that you must speak. Then Jeremiah was afraid and said, Father, but I am too young. He said to him, do not say you are too young, but you must go and speak the word that I must put in your mouth. Now, my question from there is, how would somebody know that God has put in the word in his mouth? And how to stand proud to speak fearlessly?
Praise God. How will you know that God has put the word in your mouth?
Yes.
Number one, God will tell you that I am going to put my word in your mouth.
Yes. Evidence to make it very clear, because it comes in many ways. Not some people, like my spiritual director said, that we are all called to serve God, but not only as a priest. So how would we know in many areas? And when will it be very clear to you that this is where and how I should go on with my work?
You see, you gave an example of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was told by God that he will use him. Jeremiah said he was too small. And but God said, don't mind your age, that he will put his word in his mouth. First and foremost, you must receive assurance through your ears from God that he will put his word in your mouth. There was a time that God put his word in the mouth of an animal, and the animal spoke the word of God. When God decides to use you, even to speak, he will put in your mouth. When he says, I put something in your mouth, that means he will tell you what to say. That's what it means. Do you understand? If I tell you this, listen.
Praise the Lord. It was put into me under more that I will say that Pastor Moses loves me. And it was how he said it to me. And he said that I must speak. And I am speaking to you all that he said that he loves me.
That is how God puts his word in our mouths.
But how can somebody recognize the fear? Because it doesn't come in a simple way. How can a woman recognize the fear of the word of God and be carried?
No, when God wants to use you, he will do it in such a way that you can perform. He won't make you fear so that you cannot talk.
But are there some who understand or who agree to come out when they receive a terrifying situation, like in the life of Jonah? Many come out when it's very...
Don't use Jonah.
Okay.
You know why you don't use Jonah? Jonah was not terrified.
But he argued to go, he argued never to go on time. But when he received
a
very...
No, go and read the story again.
Sir?
You don't understand the story of Jonah. Jonah was not afraid. Jonah did not... The story of Jonah is to make us understand God's mercy. Jonah felt that they were too sinful for God to send him to. Why should they repent? God should just destroy them. Because even after he was forced to go, and he gave the message, and then they all fasted and asked for mercy, and God forgave them. Jonah was angry that God forgave them. So that's why I said don't use Jonah. Somebody is on the air. Yes?
Hello?
You too, hello.
Yeah, all right. My name is Sister Margaret from UK. And last week, Pastor says he's going to teach people how to use their gift. And I find myself one time when the pastors were praying, and I was watching the screen, and something like electric hit me from in my seat. And I felt like I wanted to fall, but I composed myself. Ever since then, if I'm praying by myself, I feel like an electric shock. All my body, like I just get like a grip, electric shock. And I try to pray for somebody, and I just feel like electric shock, like from my hand entering the person, and the person will be vibrating. And I get very scared. Why is this like happening? And sometimes my ear will be paining me. I don't know what to do with all this.
Margaret from UK, God bless you. Yes, I promise that we will say something concerning the gifts. We will continue to say it because the last program we had, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we expect a lot of manifestations. And this is an area that not too many preachers, especially in the end time message, are familiar with. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 lets us know different manifestations, but the same spirit. Different operations. Can we read it? Verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4 and 5 and 6. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And then verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with that. That manifestation, then we have administration, then we have operation. Different administration, different operation, and then different manifestation, but the same Spirit. Now listen carefully. When you are just receiving the Holy Ghost, the way God ministers the Spirit upon us, he administers the Spirit. People, he does not administer it in the same way on everybody. If I say receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or I lay hand on you to receive the Holy Ghost, four of you could be sitting down there praying the same prayer point. But in ministering it to you, He may minister it to you in four different ways. Somebody may be slain as if all your bones have been removed. You just crash like that and you are there like that. He is administering the Holy Ghost. The other one may be there just shaking and just shaking and shaking. Another one may just be shouting and just shouting. Then the other one, only tears may just be coming out of the eyes. That is his own way of ministering it. Different ways that he does it. No two people receive the same way. Somebody may just see a ball of fire that come and hit you. You don't know what happened again. And things like that. Now, but most of the time, as I have studied the past years, 17 years of pastoring this ministry and enjoying these manifestations, I have studied enough to see that every gift, I mean, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the manifestation always comes in the area that your gift will burst forth later. If you come receiving the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues, either of these two gifts or both of them will manifest later. One, the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy where the power of God comes upon you and then you begin to give thoughts, said the Lord. And the Spirit of God speaks through you. Or, by that gift, you go into the intercessory ministry, an intercessor. Because when there is a matter and a burden comes upon you, you pick up anybody, you pray, and before you know what, the Holy Ghost takes over. And such a person handles any matter, the matter must be solved. Because you now handle it, not in the flesh anymore, the Spirit takes over and prays exactly according to the will of God. Those of us who feel fire sensation around you, sometimes you see your hand just shaking and vibrating. Later on, it bursts into a gift. Always healing. It becomes a sign for you. When you have, what do you call, there are different ones. I don't know which one again. Your ear. Immediately you receive the Holy Ghost, you find noise. From that day, you begin to hear when the atmosphere changes, you begin to hear noise like that in your ear. Always, later on, you'll be hearing voice. The Holy Ghost will be speaking to you. You will hear His voice loud and clear like that. Your eye, you begin to feel sometimes like a migraine headache. Your forehead. Your eyes, you begin to feel that sensation there. Always, that eye will soon be seeing vision. And many others, I don't know which other one again. There are so many. Different ones, all the gifts, you know, will be manifesting like that. So, Sister Margaret from UK, you have already even confirmed it. It is for healing. Later on, you get used to that sign. And then you will know, when that sign comes, you know there is a sick person that God wants to heal. And you lay a hand on that person. You don't pray that prayer two times. That person receives healing. I hope I am clear with that, Sister Margaret. Can we clap our hands again? Thank you. Okay. Let's hear you.
Praise the Lord, George. Daddy, please, my questions are personal questions, but still pertaining to the Holy Ghost.
I will answer you personally too.
Okay, sir. there's this particular revelation I've been having. It concerns war in all over the world and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right from my childhood, at least I'm not mistaken, from the age of 5, I started being conscious of that, and it keep reoccurring. Then secondly, there is this reoccurrence of an experience I had. The first one was at the age of 7. I was still less than 8 years when it occurred. One of my aunts was asking me questions, and immediately I turned to respond to her. She screamed that my eyes were blazing with fire. And I was like, you know, I was just so dumbfounded. I continued with what I was doing. Then after, about 15 years later, then I was in high institution. One of the lecturers then that was disturbing me, he was asking me a question. As I turned to answer him, the same scream and statement he made. About 5-6 years later, at work, my boss was asking me a question. As I turned to ask, you know, to answer him, the same scream, you know, and statement that my eyes were blazing with fire. Now I want to know, sir.
Which if fire is that? If I were you, there are people that have seen all manner of things around me. Many places I go, and they tell me this, tell me that. Say, now you see, I'll be worried if I am the one that saw it, and I don't understand. But now you see. So go ask God, waiting there for this. I will not be worried. Because to start with, if you have received the Holy Ghost, you have received a fire. If you have received the Holy Ghost, you have received a fire. And when two powers jam, there must be a reaction somewhere. If I were you, it will make me to walk more confidently. They see me, so I carry fire. I will not be worried. Because our God is a consuming fire. And if he dwells in me, then you will see that fire. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. So, Daddy, my question from it is that, you know, eye blazing fire, is it the impartation of the Holy Spirit or is it a supernatural power? And if it's Holy Spirit or supernatural power, why is it that I'm not, you know, exercising it? Why have
Why are you not exercising fire?
No, I mean...
I want to understand your question.
No, Daddy, why I ask that question is...
Every Christian, every true Christian, listen, every true Christian carry a glory. God manifests that glory to whosoever he wants to see in various ways. Some may look at you and see a light. Some will see a fire, depending on what God wants to show that person concerning you. But certainly, there is a glory around us. That is the glory that Satan sees and knows you belong to him, to Jesus. Every one of us, we have it. So don't be afraid. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, brother.
Then, Daddy, I still have one more.
The last
question.
One.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Then there is this this experience I had. One of the time I was undergoing self-deliverance. I was in the heat of the prayer when my voice suddenly changed to that. I heard a poof sound as if a busted balloon. And suddenly I heard my voice was so thick and loud like that of a man's own. And I screamed, Jesus. I jumped out, you know, I wanted to run. And the hands, you know, held me there. And the voice I heard was, where do you think you're running to? What if you are struck down by the Holy Spirit? What will you do? Who will save you? So I became afraid. In fact, I opened my eyes. I was just shivering. You know,
So what's your question?
My question is, sir, If that was Holy Ghost, why is it that, I don't really know how to put the question.
You don't understand that experience?
Yes, sir.
You don't know what happened to you?
Yes, up till now, the mystery of it is what I'm yet to understand.
Now, this is very simple. When you go home, tell the Lord, is it you that came that day? If it is you, confirm it again. And you will get the answer. Simple. Yes.
Shalom, church. I want to congratulate every one of us for the success of the June camp.
Amen.
Anytime I pass through this type of exercise, I always have my utterances changed and have the same experience. And also, my question, I've had that experience and some other also have it. That is, as a Christian, at times you dream, you see your inner man doing what you don't do in your real life. My question is...
You mean your spirit man?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay.
What could be responsible for this? That is number one question. And again, in such a situation, you try to decode it. You don't know what to do about it. That is my first question, sir.
You, for instance, physically, you don't fornicate. Then in the dream, you find yourself fornicating. Now, there are two ways to look at it. And we must be very sensitive. As a Christian, and I know I am not physically a fornicator, for instance. Then I see myself in a dream fornicating. Me, as a person. I will immediately go to see that God is trying to show me something. Let me give you an example. Years back, I was going around in my ministry years back before this church started. Prison ministry. And then I find myself in Asaba. And a particular ministry, a particular church there that received us, they were wonderful people. Very wonderful. I fell in love so much with them. Their headquarters was in Lagos here. And then I had the tape. I was in the pastor's house and they were playing a video of a message their leader preached. And I got so worried. And then, I got so interested. And then that night they put us in a hotel. I had a dream. Imagine me, I'm in a missionary field. And then I found myself flirting with my friend's wife. And I was very worried. When I came out of that revelation, it was a dream. In the night, I was very worried. Even as an unbeliever, I wouldn't do that. To flirt with my friend's wife, a very beautiful, pretty woman, but it's a friend's wife, a real life. And while I was getting worried, the interpretation came that woman is that church that I was flirting with another person's wife. I understood that immediately and I asked God, forgive me. I took off. The pastor called me an ugly answerer. I cut off from them. Because by that dream, I was flirting with a woman. Woman is church. My association with a woman, that is, I got that revelation. Now, if there's somebody who is not well schooled in interpreting dream, I will say, spiritual wife.
You see, now, the same thing in every other area. When you find yourself, for instance, you are maybe eating and eating, you learn to give spiritual meanings to dreams. But of course, if before you slept, some bad thoughts were in your mind, you watch some filthy dream and you sleep, you will continue with what you watched in your dream. So you don't need interpretation. So that is how you note physically, I am not like this. But in the spirit, why am I like this? Try to give, sometimes it tells you your spiritual estate. God bless you.
The second question, sir, is similar but a bit not the same. Like when you go through a program like this, maybe 7 days, maybe 10 days, how many days prayer and fasting? You see, after you break, during the fasting, you don't have any bad dream or any whatever. But you discover that maybe the second day after you finish that fasting, you see an evil spirit coming to do one thing or the other, especially to take away that little anointing or power or whatever you got during that season. What somebody do to stop that or to avoid that?
Now, I want you to also note that fasting period is a period that you are most sensitive in the spirit. A fasting period, if it is a spiritual fast, is a period that you are spiritually very, very sensitive. So, and then that is also the period that God uses the opportunity to open your spirit man to see your environment, to see your estate. Yes, God can let you an opportunity for you to know a spirit that you need to fight. So that in that estate of fasting, the period you are, it gives you a prayer point. Because that spirit may have been around disturbing you and you didn't know because of your spiritual estate. So when you are fasting, every experience you have becomes a prayer point. That is what it's supposed to mean. Next person.
Pastor Green, sir.
God bless you.
My question is John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24.
Eh?
John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24.
What does it say?
But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So my question is, is it during worship like this, or like a Sunday service, or or is it all the days of my life I should always be in the spirit? Or is it during prayer, all this? I want to know.
The usage of the word worship there also connotes service, serving God. We are to serve him in spirit and in truth. It connotes following him. It connotes that is it.
Okay, service. All in service.
Is serving God. Once you have given your life to Christ, anything else you do is a service to God. And it must give him honor and it must glorify him. By so doing, you are worshiping him. And anything you want to do to the glory of God, you must do it in spirit always. And in truth.
Always.
Always, 24 hours. In spirit and in truth. There's a question on the screen. Rosemary Agumba from London. Shalom, church. During the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the second day, as we were praying, pastor was ministering the Holy Ghost. I saw myself crying and I can't stop it. I tried but couldn't. My question is that the Holy Ghost? That is the Holy Ghost. It is a manifestation of the Spirit. Tears, you were not crying. You just saw tears coming out of your eyes and you can't stop it. That was the same way I received the Holy Ghost in 1989. The day I gave my life to Christ, I was kneeling at the altar. Tears were coming out. I was battling. What is this? What is this? I didn't want people to see. People would think that I'm crying. No. The more I tried to clean it, the more the tears came out. I didn't understand what it was until years later. But I know that after that day, my life changed. That is the important thing. That's how I know it was the Holy Ghost I received. And after that, long after that, any day I thought of the bad life I lived before and how God did not allow me to die in that estate, and His mercy still found me. Once I just meditate on it, tears will still come out of my eyes. So, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. That was the Holy Ghost. Congratulations, all the way from UK. You know, I received a message, Brother Lucky from France, Paris, France. I know you are watching us now. And he said he has a sister who never ever believed that you can receive from the television. So they all sat down ready for Holy Ghost in their sitting room, in their house, waiting for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The sister, they are, they have them. So waiting on the sit down now. Now I receive for television. And he said as soon as the ministration started, the team packed that sister. And she scattered the whole house. Let's clap our hands to our God. Amen. So, Brother Lucky, if you are watching us and you have credit on your phone, can you call and confirm? Yes, good morning. Oh, Brother Lucky, yes. You want to confirm the testimony? Tell us. Shalom. Congratulations for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Clap your hands now.